Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Thanks for spending a few minutes with me today. I'm coming with you together on Friday, the 12th of February of 2021. You know, if you see my mass today, you'll see me preaching about something which is part of what I call a spirituality of pro-life. We are pro-life. So many of you are active in the pro-life movement. Maybe you aren't active in the movement, but you are pro-life. You're opposed to abortion. You want to see our youngest brothers and sisters protected, just like the rest of us are. And but this is, pro-life is many things. And it's a spirituality. And in the Mass today, I speak about how in the beginning of our human history, the devil tempted our first parents with the desire to be like God. You will be like God, he said to them. And of course, we want to be like God in the way that Jesus tells us, that by our faith, by our obedience, by our humble uniting of ourselves to God's will, he exalts us, he raises us up. He who humbles himself shall be exalted, Jesus says. But some people want to exalt themselves, not by humbling themselves, but by asserting themselves. And that's the deep error behind not only the original sin, but behind the idea of pro-choice. It's not being in favor of human freedom the way we all are. It's the idea that choice determines what's right and wrong. In other words, what I choose is right, not because the thing is right or corresponds to God's law and God's truth, but because I choose it. That then is what makes it right. This is how some people think. And it's a mistaken notion of morality. To think the right way, to realize that Jesus humbled himself, Jesus himself, who was and is equal to God, humbled himself and took on our human nature, became obedient even to death on the cross. Well, that shows us the way, doesn't it? That's the way to freedom, happiness, fulfillment. Not exalting ourselves, but humbling ourselves so God can exalt us. So let's pray, because I want to talk to you then after that about some elements of this spirituality of pro-life and how you can be trained in it. Let us pray. God, you are the God of truth and of life. You give us your law as the way to freedom, fulfillment, and salvation, because you made us according to your word. And therefore, when you speak your word, it resonates within our human hearts and bodies and souls. So thank you, Lord. Help us to learn and know your word, your will, your law. Help us to fervently unite ourselves to it, obey it, and therefore let it lead us to happiness and fulfillment. Grant that we may all be pro-life, that we may all work for the protection of the youngest of our brothers and sisters, and that we may find that all that activity, Lord, leads back to you. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, let's go to the board. And let's talk about pro-life. Now, first of all, I've given you various talks in the past in different broadcasts where we've defined this term very specifically. We're talking about protecting the unborn. We know we're in favor of life throughout the spectrum. Of course we are. We don't, you know, want to favor protecting the unborn and then kill everybody else. Protecting the unborn, we're focusing that because that's where the problem is focused. They're the only group that have been deprived of their very right to life. And so pro-life, you know, in one sense, it's very generic. Yeah, we're in favor of all life, you know, conception to natural death. Yes, that's true. But we have a movement here to protect the unborn. It's sort of like saying to the CEO of Delta Airlines, you know, well, you know, you're pro-transportation, aren't you? Well, yeah, well, of course he is. He's pro-transportation, but his job, his mission is to grow Delta Airlines. Same thing with the head of United Airlines, with the head of American Airlines. I mean, for that matter, the train, Amtrak trains. And I mean, are you pro-transportation? Yeah, but it would be silly to stop it at that point. Oh, I'm in favor of all transportation everywhere, you know, cars, trains, planes, boats, space shuttles, you know. So, but people have a specific mission, and our specific mission is to protect the unborn. Okay, so pro-life is what? Well, one can say it's a philosophy, and it is. It is a philosophy. There is a philosophy to being pro-life. One can say that it is a religious belief. It is. We believe in the sanctity of human life. God loves life. Christ united himself to our human life. Sure, it's a religious belief. We can say that it is a political position, and it is. The Republican Party platform calls for the protection of the children in the womb, even to the point, not only of having legislation, but even to the point of having a constitutional amendment that says they must always be protected. That's the highest form of public policy that you can implement in the United States, is to actually have an amendment to the Constitution. So yeah, it's a political position. The Democrat position, on the other hand, read the platform, it's abortion on demand without any exceptions. It's all these things. It's a cause. It's a human rights movement. As Alveda King, who is the niece of Martin Luther King Jr., many of you are watching right now on her channels, and she works with me full-time here in Priests for Life, has done so for many years. The civil rights movement of today, Alveda says, is the pro-life movement. And so we have all these things. By the way, there's never been a president who has more advanced the freedom of the church or the rights of the unborn than President Donald Trump. We need to be thanking God every day that he has blessed us with President Trump, because this most important moral issue has never found a better friend in political office and in political power. We've only just begun to proclaim that and to teach people about that. But what we are saying here in terms of pro-life is that it is a spirituality. And I want to draw out for you a little bit about what I mean by that, because this will help you to live according to and put into practice your convictions about pro-life. Let's look at life itself, the gift of human life. When we say it is sacred, well, actually, let me go like this. Okay, so human life is sacred. What do we mean when we say it is sacred? What we mean is it is from God. In these days in the Mass, we are reading from the book of Genesis, the accounts of creation. Okay, God creates human life in his own image. It belongs to God. The fact that he created it gives him title to it. It belongs to God, and it goes back to God. All things were created through him. All things were created for him. God is the very purpose of our life, the very purpose of all creation. We're all moving towards him. So human life, from God, belongs to God, goes back to God. Therefore, the pro-life commitment, pro-life activity, in its proper form, in a different way, but in its proper form, comes from God. God gives us the call to defend life. It belongs to God. Everything, whatever you do, Scripture tells us, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Glorify God in all you do, Scripture tells us, right? Jesus is Lord of all our activities. So pro-life activity, it belongs to God. This is his battle. And then, when we say it goes back to God, it is meant to lead us closer to him, as all our actions are meant to do. Every decision we make, it's either leading us closer to God or it's taking us farther away from him. We don't stay neutral in our relationship with God. So pro-life activity itself is rooted in him, and that's what we mean when we say it's a spirituality. It's not just a cause. It's not just a belief. It's not just a political position. It's not even just a human rights movement, as noble and important as that is. It's a way of relating to God. Let's give some other language to this concept. When we say it's a spirituality, it is, and this is part of the dignity of human life, that we can have a relationship with God. We have this capacity to relate to God. So pro-life is a way of relating to God. Another way to say it is an aspect of our discipleship of Christ. So St. John Paul II wrote Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life, a marvelous encyclical. And he said, look, God has joined himself to humanity in the incarnation. God became man. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, right? So an attack on human life is an attack on God. Think about that for a moment. God has joined all humanity to himself. So you attack a human life, you're attacking God. You reject a human life, he also said in that encyclical. It's a rejection of Christ. So if attacking a human life is a rejection of Christ, this whole pro-life activity to defend human life is part of following Christ. And it is also pro-life, that is, a way of living / obeying the commandments. All of them. How does Jesus summarize the commandments? Love God, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God. I'm reminded of one of the many times I've prayed in front of abortion facilities throughout this country. I've prayed at just about all of them. With people like you, I'm sure some of you, we've been together in front of abortion facilities at different times. One of these occasions, we were standing there praying, and one of the gentlemen who was part of our group, literally his feet, his toes, inadvertently, were over the property line of the abortion facility. So someone from the facility noticing that, you know, they watch us from the window. Sometimes they watch us on their security cameras. Comes running out and says, get your feet off our property. And I was addressing the group at that point, and I paused and I looked at that clinic worker and I said, and when are you going to get your hands off God's property? That's what these abortion facilities do. They trespass into the sacred ground of the womb. And they go in there with surgical instruments and they take what Psalm 39 says is a beautiful, wondrous, mysterious work of God putting us together in the depths of the earth, in the secrecy of the womb, and they tear it apart. They are trespassing, trampling the rights of God. So to love God is to love what he makes. To love God is to love all whom he loves. That's why the first and the second commandment, like Jesus said, are very closely related. They're like each other, because then God says, love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, recognize that your neighbor is a person like yourself and love them. And the first part of loving them is to protect them. Our neighbor includes our unborn neighbor, and that's where the spirituality of pro-life becomes clear. We can't live the commandments and exclude an entire segment of people from our love and protection. It just doesn't work that way. In St. John's first letter in the New Testament, he says, if you have enough of this world's goods and you notice your brother in need, well, how can God's love survive in you if you don't meet the needs of your brother or sister? It's not just that you're helping them. You're saving yourself. You're preserving God's love in you by helping your neighbor. So if that's true of giving food and water and shelter, like Jesus said in another passage, right? In Matthew 25, whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do to me. Whatever you fail to do to them, you do to me. And he said in yet another passage, if you give a cup of cold water to someone in my name, you will not be without your reward. Well, if Jesus notices us giving or not giving a cup of water, how much more does he notice and care about us saving one another's lives? Oh, yeah, this is a spirituality. This is part of living the commandments and obeying them. It's part of discipleship with Christ. It's part of relating to God. So I'm telling you all this because I want to introduce you, and some of you are familiar, some of you are already formally part of this movement. It's a movement of learning and living pro-life spirituality that we have called, and we at Priests for Life have established it. It's called the Missionaries of the Gospel of Life. Would you like to be one? Missionaries of the Gospel of Life. Now, the Gospel of Life is the Gospel of Jesus Christ. There's only one Gospel, and it's the Gospel of Jesus Christ. The Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Gospel of God's love for humanity, is the Gospel of Life. We're talking about the Gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not talking about some other message. Because inherent in Christ's Gospel is his love for human life. That's why he became one of us, died for us, rose for us, ascended into heaven, and he says, where I am, I want you to be. He who wins the victory, we read in Revelation 3:21, will sit with me on my throne. God wants us where he is. He exalts us, lifts us up, loves us. So that's the gospel. Missionary, we proclaim it. We spread it. We tell others about it. And we carry out its implications in the world, changing public policy even to come into line with it. This is the website, missionariesofthegospeloflife.com. We also have it in Spanish, Misioneros de la Vida. You want to become a missionary of the Gospel of Life? What it involves is very simply signing up on the website and learning the spirituality. We trace, in other words, not only why we are pro-life, but as a missionary of the Gospel of Life, you learn how to be pro-life. And we identify the particular virtues that are needed in carrying out the pro-life message. And we give you certain things to read, like John Paul's encyclical, The Gospel of Life. We have a study guide that goes with it. We invite you to read and study these documents. Being a missionary of the Gospel of Life furthermore involves certain commitments of prayer that we say every day. And then you commit, once you've studied it all, and you say, yeah, I can live this, then you make the commitment to do so. Simple as that. And then we are able to connect you with other people throughout the country and indeed around the world who are living as missionaries of the Gospel of Life. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. It's joyful. We're not alone. None of us is alone. And you know, that's one of the reasons some people like joining up with this, because they often feel alone in pursuing the pro-life cause, not because there aren't a lot of other people in the movement, there are, but many believers feel alone because they're not getting the kind of support and encouragement from the church that they deserve to get. And that's where we can pick up a little bit of that slack, and we can reassure you, oh yes, you are very much in line with the church. You are very much living out exactly what the church calls us to live in this world. So check it out, missionariesofthegospeloflife.com. You know, I mentioned there are many different virtues we need to have as we carry out this work. One of them, and we've seen this especially in what we've been living through this past year, is we've got to have courage to proclaim the truth when things around us seem so completely confused and, in fact, captivated by the father of lies, who is the devil. It's amazing how much lying is going on. It's incredible. And also, readiness for public witness. Pro-life is not just a private thing. We have to be ready to go in front of others, whether it's online and social media like you are now, many of you watching, or whether it's just in front of friends and associates, people in your church or place of work or family. Readiness for public witness, speaking out. It involves also virtues related to compassion, because we who reject abortion do not reject those who have abortions or who feel they need to have abortions. We have the greatest compassion for them. I oversee Rachel's Vineyard and Silent No More, two of the largest healing ministries in the world for people who have had abortions. They're part of Priests for Life. Oh yes, we love and we heal and we embrace and we bring forgiveness, mercy, and peace into the lives of those who have killed their children by abortion, some of them multiple children. I've ministered to people who have had nine or ten abortions. I've helped people find healing who have had 25 abortions, literally, believe it or not. This spirituality is not a spirituality of negativity. We don't cast judgment on anybody. We don't point fingers of condemnation. We extend hands of mercy and of help, because those who have abortions, even those who perform abortions, because we reach out with mercy and compassion, even to the abortionists, and I've helped many of them come to a pro-life position, they are not the enemy. They are captive to the enemy, and we want to set them free. So this is the spirituality of pro-life. Check it out, missionariesofthegospelofLife.com. Sign up. We'll talk more about it on these programs. And we'll be in touch with you directly if you sign up for it and lead you along. You can begin all on your own, really. You go to that website, you'll see the things to read and study and the prayers to say. You'll learn a lot just by going through the website. You'll be well on your way to being part of this movement. So let me sit down once more and conclude here. If you have some particular questions or comments, I see Elaine talking about Rachel's Vineyard retreats. They are the best, aren't they, Elaine? They're wonderful. These are about 1,000 retreats a year, of course, although with the virus, the China virus, we have had to, we haven't been able to have this past year as many retreats as we normally have, but it's usually close to 1,000. Working in about 72 countries, many different languages. And it's a retreat based on the psychological insights and research of Dr. Teresa Burke, one of our Priests for Life full-time associates, and also the work of many other researchers about the damage abortion does. But also it's rooted in the Word of God and in the sacraments of the Church. The retreats have both Catholic and interdenominational versions. And they are run in Spanish as well as in English. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And Dr. Teresa Burke, longtime friend and colleague, is the founder of that. And just, she's amazing. She's truly very, very blessed with insight and creativity to be able to bring healing to so very many people. So thank you, friends, for joining me for some moments here today. Continue to spread the word about this great movement of life, this great spirituality. Thank you for what you do for the cause. And we look forward to staying connected each and every day with these broadcasts. So now may the Lord bless you, strengthen you, protect you, answer all your prayers, and make you strong defenders of life in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. We will talk to you soon.
I think we have Richard Lee, we have Jim Garlow, and we have Father Frank Pavone. Someplace there in the audience, so I appreciate
follow him, Father Frank Pavone, F.R. Frank Pavone on Twitter. He is the National Director of Priests for Life. Please go to priestsforlife.org.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.